So we're here, session three. It's exciting. Thank you. I'll wait. Wonderful. So today we are looking at Simon. He is the disciple with a foot-shaped mouth. I could only find a baby who was putting their foot in their mouth. All the pictures of people with foot-shaped mouths was really quite rude, so I didn't want to do that and get told off. But the first time that Jesus met Simon, okay, he called him a stone. Not a stoner, a stone. Peter means stone. He doesn't replace his name. He adds it on. So sometimes Jesus calls him Simon. Sometimes he's called Peter. Sometimes he's called Simon Peter. I will call him Simon Peter. But Jesus uses it as an inspirational tool. It's really quite clever. And I've realized that my mum did this as well, but in a slightly different way. So when Simon messed up, it was very definitely Simon. But when he was like, come on, I want to encourage you, it was Peter the Rock. So my mum did this. When I was naughty, she would call me Jake Edward Tucker with the eyes. And when she wanted to encourage me, she would call me Jakey or Pudding. It didn't work. It doesn't have the same effect, does it? You see, she got it all wrong. I'll tell her. I'll text her later. Actually, Emily, you got my phone. Do you want to text her? Yeah, great. Jesus sometimes wants to tell him off, and he says, Simon. Simon's character is a natural-born leader, the Bible tells us. And really, a great example of that is probably Matt Wild. He's not in the room, so I can really embarrass him. I would say he's a natural-born leader. But unlike Matt, Simon is rash and he messes up all the time. Matt doesn't mess up. He walked on water with Jesus. He had courage to get out of the boat. And then he messed up. He took his eyes off Jesus and he starts to sink, gets very wet. Actually, on that story, I question whether it was appropriate to tell about this story, because in the Bible it talks about him taking off his gown. So he was walking on water naked. Inappropriate. Anyway, he took Jesus aside to say, no, Jesus, you will not die. He rebukes Jesus, the Son of God. Simon, very definitely Simon at this moment, tries, when Jesus was being betrayed, he cuts off someone's ear. That's probably messing up, right? Right? Yeah, that's probably messing up. And then he denied knowing Jesus three times. But Jesus went out of his way to forgive and to restore Peter the Rock. I've got five lessons that we can learn from Simon Peter, and I'm going to run through them now. There's a nice PowerPoint to help you. So the first one is up there. The first one is Jesus overcomes fear. Peter overcame fear by stepping out of the boat onto a tossing sea. Peter found courage in following Christ. There is no fear in perfect love, but perfect love drives out fear. I don't know about you, but in certain places I feel really safe. Like when I'm with my mum, I feel really safe. When I'm with my dad, I don't. Probably for a lot of reasons. But and now I feel safe with my wife. And that perfect love casts out fear. So I don't scare easily when I'm with those people. I can be completely myself. And this is a big thing. God's love, more than my mum's, more than my wife's, casts out fear. And we see that in Peter's life when he stepped out of the boat. Jesus forgives unfaithfulness. This is huge. This is really big. So after Peter had boasted about never giving up on Jesus, it sounds like something I would do, Simon denied the Lord 3 times. It seems that Peter had burnt his bridges, but Jesus lovingly rebuilt them and restored Peter. Peter was a former failure, but with Jesus, failure is not the end. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. I've got a story on this, and I wasn't sure whether I should share it because you'll probably look at me in a different light, but I'm going to share it, and you have to promise that you won't look at me in any other way. Promise? Promise? Great, thank you. So this is a story of utter guilt, like utter guilt. We might have to cut it from the recording because I don't want you running to the police. So I had a friend at school, shock horror, who used to work in a sports shop. I won't name it. And I was really into football at the time. And I would talk to my friend, this friend who worked in the sports shop, about Jesus. I was really, really good. And he started becoming interested in Jesus. Didn't cross the line. And so one day he offered me an opportunity. He said, "Jake, I steal shoes from my sports shop and give them to mates. Would you like a pair?" I was like, I felt like Jesus said, "Do not take them. Do not take them. You've done a lot of hard work. Do not take them." Do you know what I did? No, yes. I did. I chose wrongly. And utter guilt came on me. I cried again. But I thought I'd burnt my bridges with Jesus completely. I didn't go to church for a couple of weeks, in fact, because I was hiding my shame. I lost connection with that friend, unfortunately, after he left school. But I spoke with older friends and prayed about it and really felt the love of God in such an amazing way that I knew he had forgiven me. Without him saying, "Jake, I forgive you for this," I know he's forgiven me because of that one moment where he showered his love upon me. My screen's gone black. So I messed up completely, royally. Probably more than Peter. But he showered his love on me. The next one, Jesus patiently teaches. Over and over, Peter needed correction. Again, like me. And the Lord gave it with patience and firmness and love. The master teacher looks for students willing to learn. Are you willing to learn? No. He's honest. It's good. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." Psalm 32:8. It's a good job that's in there. Because Simon, if Jesus wasn't prepared to teach him, he wouldn't have gone anywhere, would he? The next one. Jesus sees us as he intends to see us. Intends us to be. The very first time that they met, Jesus called Simon Peter. the rough and reckless fisherman was in Jesus' eyes a firm and faithful rock. Jesus couldn't have known that if he wasn't God. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. That's for you. Simon's no different to you. Jesus uses unlikely heroes. We've heard about this all along, haven't we? About the disciples being very, very ordinary. But he uses them in amazing ways. And Peter was a fisherman from Galilee, but Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. Because Peter was willing to leave all he had to follow Jesus, God used him in an amazing way. As Peter preached, people were amazed at his boldness because he was unschooled and ordinary. But then they took note that Peter had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus makes all the difference. I think I've turned it off. There we go. I was back. One reason I love this story of Simon Peter is that Jesus never disqualifies him. I've messed up so much at school, outside of school, and I've disqualified myself in my heart so many times. And the world really has disqualified me as well because of things that I've done. But Jesus looks at me and says, no. He says, Jake, I love you the same. I've chosen you. Go and talk to people about me. Tell them how much I love them. And be my light in the dark areas of the world. Jesus never disqualifies you. You might think that you have disqualified yourself, but he never gives up on you. Simon Peter grew up as an ordinary fisherman into an amazing man of God. The point of change was after Jesus left this earth to go to heaven. In John 16:7, Jesus goes as far as to say, you'll actually have an advantage. That's strange, right? The Son of God, earth, you'll have an advantage if I go. Because when he leaves, the Counselor will come. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, who Matt kind of teed us up to. And I'd like to look at the Holy Spirit for a minute or five. Because before the Holy Spirit came on these guys, they were ordinary, messed up people. And several times they wanted to go back to their old lives. How many times have you wanted to do that in your Christian walk? Adam said five. Only five times. That's good. Mine's six. But they waited for the Holy Spirit to come and something changes. Something changes. They were ordinary, messed up people. Something changes and they were willing to die for Jesus' name. This is not really that comfortable, is it? Simon Peter was so changed by this moment that the Holy Spirit came on him, that he watched his wife die on a cross. They made him watch his wife die before they then crucified him upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same as Jesus. What must be something about this Holy Spirit that makes you want to do that or willing to do that? The Holy Spirit is God. I've heard the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit described like three parts of an egg. three-leaf clover, three forms of water. God is nothing like anything. Okay? He is incomprehensible. He is incomparable. He is unlike any other being. I love the verse in Isaiah where it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Have you noticed that it says Wonderful Counselor? And I mentioned that Jesus said, it's better that I go, that the Counselor will come. So here it's talking about the Son being the Wonderful Counselor. And then later it says Everlasting Father. I told you about my nervous passing wind, didn't I? Woo! Sorry. I'll keep it in. Sorry down there. Right here we see Jesus is referred to as the Counselor and the Father. This keeps us from simplifying the divine mystery. It's not easily broken down, and it doesn't make sense until we get to heaven when he tells us. But it works. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Where did I put my water? Oh, it's still up there. Sorry. I would say talk amongst yourselves, but I won't be able to get you back. So don't talk. I like art. Who else likes art? Great. So I often look at art and connect to it in different ways. Some people like music, so when you hear a piece of music, you can think back to where you were in certain situations. Music has that power. I think art has that power as well. But there's an unhelpful piece of art that I see quite a lot, and it's this sort of thing. And it depicts the Holy Spirit as a small dove. And sometimes it's a small dove on Jesus's shoulder. And I just think it's a little bit unhelpful. Because if God is one, this picture says that the Son and the Father are bigger, more important than the Holy Spirit, which I think is unhelpful. Let's get rid of that now because it annoys me. Great. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit descended, indwells in the disciples. A radical change occurred. From that moment on, none of the disciples were ever the same. We've heard how they died. We see Peter, a changed, a courageous man because of the Holy Spirit indwelling in him. This is huge. The disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and preach. I kind of feel like I've done a lot of book recommendations, and I kind of want to keep it up. So this one is by Francis Chan. Who knows Francis Chan? You really know him. Wonderful. I really like Francis Chan. He has written a lot of amazing books. But this one is brilliant. And if you want to understand more about the Holy Spirit, buy this book. Because it is brilliant. I'm just going to read you something from it, and then we'll see what God wants to do, eh? So, the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. He does this both before we intentionally enter into a relationship with God and as we journey through life as believers. That's from John 16, 7 to 11. The Spirit helps us speak when we are in precarious situations and need to bear witness. Mark 13, 11. From the Spirit we receive power to be God's witness to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit who draws people to the gospel. The Spirit who equips us with strength we need to accomplish God's purpose. The Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, he also draws believers closer to Jesus. Might read that one again. From the Spirit we receive power to be God's witness to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit who draws people to the gospel, the Spirit who equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purpose, and the Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, but he also draws believers closer to Jesus. Last one. Through the Spirit, we have received a spirit of adoption as children, which leads us into intimacy with the Father. Instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery, the Spirit bears witness to us that we are all children of God. Matt's mini preach, I thought it was wonderful, teed it up really nicely. This is a real safe place, and I'd really like to for you to be brave tonight, and I think some of you need the Holy Spirit to meet with you. You've got situations in your lives where you need empowering. You need strength. I've read to you from this book that the Bible says you will get it from the Holy Spirit if you ask. So if you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, like the disciples, we're just going to wait. Because that's what he did. That's what Jesus asked them to do. Is he said, wait, and I will send the Holy Spirit to you.